It feels like it's been an up and down season for CJ McCollum. So as the Pelicans offense continues to struggle, what's his ideal role and where have things kind of gone awry this season in the first place? Let's find out and talk about it in today's episode of Locked On Pelicans. Let's go.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily New Orleans Pelicans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans in NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day, available wherever you get your podcasts and available on YouTube. I'm your host, Pelicans Insider, credential member of the media, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Here with y'all on this Friday, final show of the week, as the Pelicans have big games coming up tonight and on Sunday against the Houston Rockets. Must wins. They're all must wins from here on out. We talked about the set in yesterday's show and why it's so important the Pelicans really kind of snap out of their funk and take this one seriously. And if they want to snap out of their funk, they're going to need to score more, which is why we're talking about CJ McCollum today. And of course, today's episode of Locked On Pelicans is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. And of course, thank you for making Locked On Pelicans your first listen today and every day. We're here like no one else is, coming to you Monday through Friday, breaking down the biggest things you want to know about this Pelicans team, whether it's looking to the offseason, whether it's talking about the games or roles for guys, rotations. We're covering it all. No one else coming to you like this, completely free. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. So let's get into it with CJ McCollum. It feels like he's not having as good of a season as he was last year. The numbers bear that out. The eye test bears that out as well. And I want to, before we really dive into certain things, I want to say it could be as simple as he's just not healthy. This is a guy who was sick to start the year dealing with COVID or non-COVID illnesses. He also had a newborn at home, which is going to affect your sleep patterns, things like that. You know, just couldn't really get in a huge rhythm maybe to start the year. And it kind of threw him off. Had a period where he was playing at an all-star level. I did it an entire show on that a little bit before the all-star break. He was playing better than guys like Klay Thompson and others, comparable to Damian Lillard at one point in time. But recently, especially after that Lakers game where he shot 1-for-10, he's got a hand injury, a thumb injury on his shooting hand. It might just be as simple as he's not healthy. Sometimes we don't need to overthink this. But I also do think role is playing into all of this. So let's talk about that. And that's going to be the topic of today's show. A couple of things really jump out at you as you watch him. The numbers are lower. The numbers are lower, and they're partially lower because he has a lower usage rate, so the percent of team's possessions that he's basically using, than he had last season. That means your scoring's going to likely go down a little bit. The shots per game going to go down a little bit. You can sometimes even that out on a per-minute basis, but with usage rate, if you're not touching the ball as much, it drops. So when you look at the stats this year, just the counting stats on what he's averaging, 21 points per game compared to 24 last season, yeah, it should be a little bit lower. And you can also just tell he's not playing as well. And you see that in the shooting percentages. His shooting percentage is about 6% lower this year than it was last year. He's about 2% or so lower when it comes to his three-point percentage. And his turnovers are up a little bit over last year. He was averaging 2.2 turnovers per game last year. He's now averaging 2.6. Doesn't seem like a lot, but over the course of the season, those type of percentages and those fluctuations mean about 3 points or so per game. So what we're seeing here seems about right, but it also does feel a little bit boom or bust with him. Against the Dallas Mavericks, he went off, particularly in the fourth quarter, with 16 straight points, but more or less no-shows against the Los Angeles Lakers a couple games later. So what is going on? So there's a few things. You know, one thing that I've really noticed is he's taking fewer shots at the rim. He's not able to get into the paint and score like he did last year. Fewer shots at the rim, and his shooting percentage is lower at the rim as well. This comes into what we talked about in yesterday's show and the design of the offense, where it's a lot of isolation heavy ball. And because the Pelicans don't have shooters out there, well, it just makes it easier to defend. When you look at his numbers in terms of shooting at the rim, frequency and percentage, it bears that out. He's driving, runs into a ton of bodies, gets in trouble and basically turns the ball over, and it's tough to try and pass out of a situation like that. He's also regressed more to the mean in some of his long mid-range jumpers. From 16 feet to three-point range, it's bad this year. It's 34.7% is what he's shooting on those. Last year was 56.1%. You don't want... long mid-rangers aren't bad, particularly for good shooters, but you don't want your offense to be really heavily designed around that because the fluctuations there can be big. And you're seeing it here, and it's causing missed shots, defensive rebounds for the opponent, and easy transition offense for them. Bad offense leads to worse defense. I've been saying that all along this year. And when you look at the different roles that he's playing, last year he was oftentimes a point guard, and it succeeded a little bit more because, well, the offense was different, and we'll talk about that more in the next segment. You know, and now he's being asked to kind of drive and attack more than he is, so the assist numbers are a little bit lower than that. You know, they might look the same per 36 minutes. He averaged 6.2 assists last year, 6.1 this year. So the numbers are kind of similar. But when you get into some of the advanced statistics, there's a measurement called assist percentage, which is an estimate of the percentage of teammate field goals a player assisted while on the court. That's down about 5% for CJ. Might not seem like a lot, but it is. He's not getting the ball to guys as much, and they're not converting those shots. It's a mix of two things. It's also because, well, the Pelicans aren't a good three-point shooting team, and the offense is just kind of designed around drive and kick, and when those guys don't make shots, Herb Jones being a big part of that this year, you have trouble. You know, you can kick it out to Brandon Ingram or someone else, and that's that. You know, Valanciunas can shoot and make threes, but not always the most consistently. So it presents a number of problems for the Pelicans, and it just feels like the offense, without Zion Williamson, is very badly designed. And, well, that leads into the next segment. So let's talk about kind of the ideal role for CJ McCollum in the next segment coming up here in today's episode of Locked On Pelicans. Before we do that, though, today's episode of Locked On Pelicans is brought to you by Nissan's most electric player of the week, brought to you by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. It's Trey Murphy, right? 41 points in that big win over the Portland Trailblazers. Kind of just defines what the Nissan Ariya is all about, right? You've got the power, getting to the rim, dunking, throwing it down. His 41st point, the two-pointer, was a reverse behind-the-head jam. But you also have the elegance, the three-point shooting in transition, just in motion, continually getting right into the shot, flowing, making it. And that's what the Nissan Ariya is all about. It delivers on duality, a combination of fierceness and elegance, beautiful but strong. It's the perfect crossover. The 2023 Nissan Ariya packs pin-to-your-seat power and premium intelligence all in one EV. The all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Shop now at NissanUSA.com. And thank you for making Locked On Pelicans your first listen today and every day. We're here Monday through Friday for y'all, breaking down this team. Every angle, we got it covered here, whether it's player performance, whether it's game recaps, whether it's sometimes game previews, trade deadline talk, rumors that I'm hearing around the team, all sorts of things like that. We got you covered. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Number one thing you can do to support the channel, comment down below. Now for your second listen, go check out Locked On Saints. Ross Jackson at Tulane's Pro Day. If you want to hear how some of those prospects did, where is a guy like Spears going to go in the draft, maybe to the Saints? You definitely know they're going to be breaking it down over at the Locked On Saints podcast. Today, we are talking about CJ McCollum and his kind of struggles this year. He's not bad. It's not been amazing either. Definitely worse than last season, and it's part of the reason why you feel the Pelicans are struggling a little bit right now. So what's the ideal role? Where are you supposed to put him? How are you supposed to use him? And that's what we're going to look at over the next two segments. In the second segment, or the next one, the third one technically of the show, should he be coming off the bench? So let's start with point CJ McCollum, point guard CJ, floor general CJ. The idea, in theory, fits. He did a lot of this last year, but this season is different. There's less off-ball movement, so there's less passes for him to make. If it's just drive the ball and kick out to another guy, well, they're bricking shots this year because the team's not a good three-point shooting team. You have Trey Murphy. That's basically about it when it comes to reliable three-point shooters outside of CJ McCollum himself and Brandon Ingram. There's no one else here like, yes, that guy's shooting. We're going to feel real good about it. That's not ideal. You know, Kyra's shot well, 43%, but that's on 30 total attempts. That's not something that you can truly rely on. Larry Nance Jr. is taking 39. He's shooting 36% from three. You have Josh Richardson, who's getting minutes, but he's only played 10 games, and he's shooting 33% for the Pelicans. Jose Alvarado, right? 33.6%. There's just not reliable shooters out there for that drive and kick to really work. And when you do that, it just means guys pack the paint, and it's forcing CJ into turnovers or bad passes. I've seen a lot of people complain about CJ getting kind of tunnel vision, attacking the basket and scoring, and doesn't look for guys like Trey and others even when they're wide open. Part of that might just be there's bodies and arms in the way and he can't make some of those passes because it's easier to defend them. And that's a big part of the problem. With the tunnel vision, I agree with it to a point. I think part of it is, well, he's just trusting himself over some of the teammates because the teammates are not making those shots. I can't say whether that's wrong or right. But CJ has been, you know, a 20-point-per-game scorer over the course of his career. He's been a decent finisher at the rim. This year's worse than normal. So I'm sure he trusts himself a little bit more than some of those other guys. Can't say that's wrong. This is a guy who for his career is averaging 19.4 points per game. There's only been two seasons, his first 2 years in the league, when he didn't play a ton, when he wasn't averaging over 20 minutes per game, that he, you know, averaged under 20. So this is a guy that really can go out, shoot the ball, score the ball, and yeah, let him try and do his thing. I think it has more to do with the offense being poorly designed. And all of this, by the way, kind of gets fixed when Zion's out there. He doesn't need to handle the ball a lot. Zion does that, it lets CJ work off ball more, and maybe that's kind of the ideal role for him. He can be a good facilitator. We've seen that. Six assists is nothing to just kind of like wave away and be like, oh, whatever, or laugh at. So putting him out there with a starting lineup of CJ, Herb Jones, B.I., Zion, and Valanciunas, CJ doesn't need to be the point guard as much. You can let Ingram and Zion do that. But without Zion in there, it throws everything off, and he has to take on a much larger responsibility that he maybe wasn't prepared for going into this season. And it leads to the things that we just talked about. He could be off ball a little bit more, let Brandon Ingram initiate the offense more, and you've started to see that. But B.I. does need another ball handler out there with him. And so that falls on CJ. If you don't want it to be CJ, you've seen them use Jose Alvarado and CJ a lot, but that is just too small of a backcourt, and it's gotten the Pelicans in trouble. It was CJ and Devontae Graham. They get torched defensively when they're out there. And I don't think CJ's been like outright bad defensively this season. You know, you have Dyson Daniels that you could put out there that gives you good size, good defense. He's a decent connector, and maybe that's the move. The problem is, who are you going to take out of the starting lineup to do something like that with right now? The answer is nobody. And you're still adding another non-offensive threat. Dyson is not an offensive threat in the slightest right now. Does some good things with rebounding, passes, defense. But this is a guy that feels like he's just not there offensively right now. And that's fine. He's a rookie who's played 47 games. He shouldn't be. But he's not shooting the ball particularly well. You can see a lack of confidence there too. His free throws haven't even been going in. That I don't think is actually the move to pair those two in the starting lineup. And I think you're going to run into trouble should you do something like that. I think it's simply kind of what we talked about a little bit yesterday and what I talked about on the radio over on the GOAT over in Lafayette 103.7. And that is maybe you need to play inside out a little bit more. Get the ball to Valanciunas, let him try and score rather than playing outside in. Try and get into the paint, attack the basket a little bit more so with your big men who can do those sorts of things, and then slowly work your way out from there to open things up and make yourself a little bit tougher to defend than the way it's been going with the Pelicans so far. Because you don't really have many changes to the starting lineup, but I think using CJ as a screener a little bit more, he screened a lot for Brandon Ingram last year, and you don't see that nearly as much this year, is a way that you could do it. Same thing of how we want Herb Jones to be used a little bit more so, and add in a little bit more off-ball movement in addition to some of these actions with the primary ball handler. I think that way, knowing that there's a cut coming, that there's another off-ball action coming, can make it easier for him to be a facilitator, knowing that this is kind of the plan, and not being entirely unsure of when a guy's going to cut, when a guy's not going to cut. If they're not cutting, well, I'm going to go to the hoop. oh no, now I can't do anything because kind of this is what the defense was projecting. And it just leads to bad things. So there's changes they could make, but that's probably kind of the ideal role. And that's what he can do around Zion Williamson. But also keep in mind, dude just hasn't been healthy this year. It's kind of the story of the Pelicans season, right? CJ's played a lot, but it doesn't mean he's been healthy, and it does limit his efficientness, effectiveness when it comes to that. But what about the bench? Could he be a sixth man? Let's talk about that coming up here next in today's episode of Locked On Pelicans. Before we do that, though, today's episode of Locked On Pelicans is brought to you by BetterHelp. Therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding, because sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react the way we do until we talk through things. I've used therapy to understand myself better. Your mindset changes. You're trying to kind of figure out what you need in your life, what you want from your life, how things are going in your life. So if you're thinking about going on a journey like that, if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/lockedonNBA today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lockedonNBA to get started. And thank you for making Locked On Pelicans your first listen today and every day. We're here Monday through Friday for y'all, breaking down everything you want to know about this Pelicans team. And now for your second listen, go check out Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result. You see me do a minute video that gets posted as a YouTube short and on Twitter after every game, breaking down what went on. All of our hosts do that, and they all get compiled into one show. So if you want to just recap the home and away, the local perspective on every game from the night before, Game to Game NBA, available on the Locked On NBA channel on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts, it's definitely the way to go. Okay, CJ McCollum, this is the one. I put it in the third segment so that y'all keep listening here with me. We just got an update on Lonzo Ball, and he's going to undergo a third surgical procedure on his left knee in the past 14 months. That sucks. I hate injuries. And he was really good for the Bulls till the injuries last year. Besides the point. CJ McCollum, we're at the point where a lot of y'all asked this. CJ, should he be coming off the bench? No. No. Come on now. Who are you starting over him that can give you that level of offense? That shooting? We can read through the shooting percentages from three for the rest of the team. They're not great. CJ McCollum this year is the fifth best shooter from three, really the third best. If you take out Kyra and Garrett Temple, because Trey Murphy, Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum on guys who actually have like attempts. You need that out there. You need the spacing. You saw what he did against the Dallas Mavericks. Yeah, he's had some games that he's just been not great. It's probably just due to injuries, because this is a guy that over the course of his career is a 39.4% shooter from deep on over six attempts per game. Those are very good numbers. Those are numbers that no one else on this team can replicate in the slightest. It's more about how you use him and the Pelicans' general offensive game plan that I think is really the way to kind of look at it. Part of it is, I think he does like kind of being the man, the lead guard for this team. He never got to do that in Portland. He was really excited to come to New Orleans at the trade, wanted New Orleans because of how they were going to utilize him. And I think that's worked for a period. But the offense isn't really designed with that in mind right now. There's not really like a role for a point guard. It's just kind of attack the basket and we'll see what happens, unless they have a game where they're just moving like crazy and it leads to 30 plus assists. If they get back to that, I think it works for CJ. But the hero ball that they go with a little bit right now, and it's not always, does that work for anybody? Does that work for anybody? And if you're a mid-range shooter like he can be, you can't shoot under 40%, otherwise it's going to cause problems. We wouldn't be having this discussion if he was shooting 50% plus from those long mid-rangers again. But those aren't efficient shots, and those are shots that league-wide are a lower percentage than other shots. They're a similar percentage to three, except they're worth one less point. That's not good. You'd rather him just take more threes if that's the case. But that's not how this offense is designed. And when the defense can guard you like they do, well, it makes it very simple for you to have to settle for those mid-range shots. And that, I do think, is a big part of the problem. You eliminate some of that, it makes things significantly better, and you can open things up a whole lot more. It's probably too late to be able to do a lot of that this season. So bringing him off the bench is going to accomplish what? You have him playing against lesser competition, but if he still can't make mid-range shots because you're still running the same type of system, I don't think it's going to matter. I don't think the court's going to be any better spaced for him to score at the rim with a second unit than it would be with the first. And again, all of this is fixed, as with most of the problems for the Pelicans are, when Zion's healthy. They don't need to design a better offense when Zion's healthy and what you did works. It worked. You don't have to have it be pretty, right? Offenses with James Harden were some of the best in the league because he could get to the line and he would shoot threes, and they were terrible to watch. With other players, those offenses wouldn't work. But with your star player being healthy, it does. That's what the Pelicans have run into this season. It doesn't require a change in philosophy necessarily, unless you just think you can't rely on him, which I think could be fair. I just don't know at that point exactly what you're supposed to do. You go into the season with a plan. Maybe you need to pivot and adjust better than they've been doing, but this is where we are. So I don't think the issue so much as CJ is so much as the offense right now, given the lack of Zion and what their game plan is designed to really support him. But using him a little bit less on ball, more off ball, less kind of floor general CJ that wants to drive and attack and then gets into trouble because there's no spacing, that's certainly not the way to go. That can maybe be tweaked, adjusted, and maybe the Pelicans can find some success over these next four very winnable games to do just that. But we'll find out. And guess what? We'll be back on Monday to recap those games and talk about what we saw from the two, where it's hopefully going to be 2-0 Pelicans. Otherwise, oh boy, we're not going to be happy on Monday. I don't know what I'm going to be saying on the show. We'll find out. So as always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NOLAJake on Twitter. And I'll be back with y'all on Monday.